Once a month, we're looking at a series of what I'm calling God's Providence in American History. And we have looked a couple of months at this man, George Washington. We've gone through several areas in American history. We're in the American Revolution, the war for American independence. And we're looking at the things that happened around his life. And this morning, we're in the middle of the Revolutionary War. I'll talk about that, but if you remember last time, Continental Congress voted to make Washington the commander of the Colonial Army. This would be 1775, and now we're a year later. And on July 2nd, the American Continental Congress voted to dissolve the connection with Great Britain. 2 days later, they adopted the document that we all know, Declaration of Independence, and this is an unbelievable document. Really, literally changes world history, and a very good document. For years, I didn't, wondered if it was more of a humanistic document, but as you read through it, there are three specific references to God and his providential care over this new nation. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for a people to dissolve the bonds. And those words have changed history. And, well, the word of this unbelievable document also began to reach the Colonial Army, which was defending the city of New York at this time. On July 6th, they began receiving information about this document. And as word spread among Washington's troops, there was great celebrations as they realized that now, finally, maybe the country was beginning to get behind this effort, which may sound funny to us, but I would say at least half of the population wasn't really sure about this. In fact, maybe half the population was British loyalists, and many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of British loyalists. And so people were uncertain about this break, even though there was a lot of talk about it and seemed to be a lot of fanfare. When it actually came down to it, There may not have been a great amount of public support. But the celebrations ended almost immediately as the troops saw what was happening right in front of them. Right in front of their eyes, English warships were beginning to arrive in New York Harbor. And the historians say this is the largest expeditionary force ever sent by any nation in history, sending to New York Harbor. And American troops were about to battle one of the most well-trained, well-equipped armies in history. And they were also being led by one of England's great generals, General William Howe. And to the British, it seemed that the battle that was about to begin would bring this foolish rebellion to a quick and bloody end. That's how they looked at it. But the Americans were led by no ordinary man. They were led by General George Washington. In the first years of his leadership, Washington had suffered many defeats. There were some great moments also, but many, many defeats as they battled. One of the great victories was they had successfully driven or kind of half-driven and half-convinced the British to leave Boston. And in doing that, the biggest win there was Washington convinced General Howe not to burn down Boston as he left. And so the British, in defeat, left Boston. It was a huge victory for the colonies. But the British plan now was to take New York and cut off this troublesome New England group of people. And they would cut off New England from the rest of the colonies by taking New York. And to the colonists, New York was the key to surviving now. And if New York fell, the hope of any independence would die. Washington was heavily outnumbered. He had about 10,000 troops. The British had close to four times that amount. It was a desperate time. Most of the men were enlisted for a short period of time. There had been a great summer harvest. The men were anxious to get home to their farms and their families, and it seemed like morale was drifting away. And a frustrated Washington wrote, he complained in his writings, he said, he complained of the death of public spirit and the want of virtue. Could I have foreseen what I have and am likely to experience? No consideration upon earth would have induced me to accept this command. However, in his prayer book, he wrote this. He said this. He knew that God was in it, despite the discouraging situation. And he said, that I might glorify and praise thee for thy protection both day and night. Let my heart, therefore, gracious God, be so affected with the glory and majesty of thine honor that I may not do my own works, but wait on thee. And this is the godly man that we studied last time. This man that trusted the Lord and trusted his armies to the Lord. So the next day, General Howe landed on Long Island. And I don't know, I'm going to put a map up. It's probably not going to do it justice, but I want to see, and I don't know if my pointer will work. Okay. So this is Staten Island right down here, and this is where General Howe, and you say, why are you showing this to us? This is Sunday school. Well, I want you to see the desperation and the almost impossibility of what's going to happen here. This is God at work, and God is in this story, and this is an amazing story. I want you to see what happens. So General Howe lands with 40,000 troops right here in Staten Island. He crosses over to Long Island. Long Island, New York. If you know New York City, you'll be recognize some things going on there. Up here is something we're more familiar with. That's Manhattan. But so Staten Island, he crosses over, and you see, oh, the interaction is working. Okay, and there they go. And General Howe's troops take off to rout these American soldiers. Now, the American soldiers are right up here in the blue. This is the American soldiers, about 10,000 of them. A couple thousand of them panic, and they come down here, and they're quickly slaughtered right here. 1,000 Americans die right there. 1,000 more are captured, leaving Washington about 8,000 troops. So he's surrounded now underneath here by what is 25,000 to 30,000 troops. To make matters worse, now the British are tacticians. They know exactly what they're doing. They sail their warships up the New York Harbor and into what is the East River. This is the East River right here. To cut off any kind of escape. This is a desperate situation. The troops have their backs against the East River of New York. They are surrounded in the front by 20 to 30,000 troops, and behind them, here comes the English Navy to cut them off. Washington knew that the only escape was going across the river, but it was a mile wide, and obviously the British ships were coming up to cut them off. In desperation, he ordered one of his generals to collect any boats that he could find. It didn't matter. Fishing boats, sloops, anything, rowboats, anything, flat-bottom boats, anything that might float and get the army across if there was even any possibility of getting the army across. And so the men weren't told that it was a retreat. It was a retreat. But the men were told that in case they would push back and not want to retreat. And Washington knelt and prayed for a miracle. Well, the miracle came in three parts. First of all, when General Howe got his men in place right there, he stopped. He hesitated. We don't know why. He stopped for 2 days. He could have slaughtered that army. They were right in front of him, literally a couple hundred yards in front of him. And he stopped. We don't know why. Maybe he just wanted to make sure that his information was right. He was in no hurry. This was an obvious victory. This war was going to be over faster than it started. And maybe he just thought he had time, was on his side, and was not in a hurry. But then it happened. Then God began to work. And a violent storm came out of nowhere and began to push these ships that were going up the East River back into New York Harbor. They couldn't make it up the East River. This caused the British advance to stop and gave Washington more time to continue organizing his rescue. Now, this rescue was a great idea, but they were going to try to move thousands of troops and cannons and wagons and animals and machinery over this river. And this is 1776. This is not 2022. It was midnight before the storm stopped. Washington couldn't move during the storm either. And it was midnight before the storm stopped, but the ships were pushed back out in the harbor permanently. They would not try to come up the East River. That's just a miracle. And many of the men that were there wrote about this amazing storm. It was frantic and desperate. Thousands of soldiers and wagons moving through the night. And even though they started to move people across the river, well, a few hours later, the sun starts to come up. And now it will be very obvious what's going on and Howe will be able to see what's happening right in front of him. Most of Washington's army was still on Long Island, and the situation was incredibly dangerous as They were surrounded by these 30,000 troops. Most of the cannon and weapons had been moved already across. It was just the men. And they had abandoned their trenches. They were exposed. They were huddled there on the banks of the river. And then God did an incredible thing. Historians still talk about what happened now. A dense fog began to settle on the Long Island side of the river. It was so heavy that it muffled every sound. The British couldn't even hear what was going on. You couldn't see more than 6 feet in front of you. Major Benjamin Talmadge wrote this. He said, "As the dawn of the next day approached, those of us who remained became very anxious for our own lives. At this time, a very dense fog began to rise, and it seemed to settle in a peculiar manner over both encampments. I recollect this peculiar providential occurrence perfectly well. And so very dense was the atmosphere that I could scarcely discern a man at 6 feet. And every man who was there that kept a journal described the same phenomenon." Just an amazing miracle. This enabled Washington to rescue 8,000 troops across that river. It was completely unseen by General Howe. Working beside his men, he offered direction, encouragement, pushing the wagons himself till the last of the American troops were across. The evacuation took 13 hours, around noon to 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then suddenly the fog lifted. To Howe's complete amazement, the entire Continental Army had vanished as if into thin air. The stories go on. I'll tell you a quick story, another miracle. But one of the a British family of sympathizers lived right there on the banks of the river where the men were being evacuated. And the wife, when she learned what was happening, sent a servant to alert the British. He successfully slipped past the American soldiers, and he reached the British lines. And there he was stopped by the German, the Hessian troops. The German Hessian troops are troops that the British hired to fight with them, and there were about 10,000 Hessian troops. Well, the servant couldn't speak in German, and the Hessians couldn't understand English, and so he's going on and on about this is they're escaping over the river, and the Hessians just arrested him because they didn't know what he was doing, and they called for a British officer to come talk to him. Well, that didn't happen until the next morning. And by the time the British officer understood what was going on, when they rushed to the banks of the river, the army was gone. Another miracle. Providentially, General Washington and the American Army were kept alive to continue this fight for freedom. And you know, there's this golden thread, some call it, this golden thread of God's providence weaves through the American War of Independence. It's really amazing. There were many defeats. There was a lot of bloodshed. Thousands and thousands of Americans died. But God's providence is seen throughout the war. We're going to study another miracle here in a couple of weeks. But had not God sent this violent storm and this freak fog in the middle of the summer, the American cause would have died there in Brooklyn. And really, the future of the entire world would have unfolded very, very differently. And I want to thank the Lord for this wonderful story in history. And Christians, we can be thrilled about what God does in these situations. And there are many more miracles, as I said, and we'll study those in the weeks ahead.